your 25% of the people. All right.
Welcome to Word of the Bay. My name is Kyle.
I am Nick, and I am back.
You're welcome back. How's the honeymoon?
It was amazing. Over the first we get to the mountains, the first thing we do, me and my wife play Edward 40 Hands.
Now, you didn't play true Edward 40 Hands.
She didn't drop them. Okay. We didn't tape them.
You didn't tape them, but you can't drop. Okay.
You can't drop them.
Whose idea was Edward 40 Hands?
It's Georgia's idea. You can buy 40s in Georgia.
Oh, shit, you're right.
And I have 2 40s illegally sitting in my fridge right now.
Nice. Of what? Like Bud what? Bud Light.
Bud Light.
Yeah. I should have got the OE, the Old English. Mm. Just did it right.
Yeah, the heavy malt liquor
heavy
40.
Heavy malt liquor. And then after, like, if you win Edward 40 Hands, I think you should be able to smash them regardless of where you're at.
I mean, I was in the woods. I probably could have done that.
It's true.
But I'll tell you what, and this is the joke I did not tell you about before the podcast.
Okay.
I had no idea a Fortnite was a brand of hot tub.
Oh. Wait, what? Nobody got...
Think about your best man speech.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently you're going to Maine because you're going to banger for a Fortnite.
Right.
Banger Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That part of the joke makes sense.
Right.
I fucked my wife in a hot tub.
Maine. a fortnight is 2 weeks.
I thought it was 4 days.
Or something like that. It's 2 weeks.
It's whatever a fort takes to... Sorry, Jesse. I know I just gave up a big secret. But I'm pretty sure a fortnight is 4 days because it takes that many nights to siege a fort.
No. Fortnight, 2 weeks. A period of 2 weeks.
Eh.
Like, that's always...
So apparently that's how long it takes to siege a fort.
Fortnight. Fortnight. Fortnite.
Ah, thank you, Google.
Thank you, Google.
Thank you, strangely pronunciation.
Used in the, to indicate something that will take place 2 weeks after that day.
Mm. We're not even 2 weeks away
Here's
from the
problem.
Wedding.
I got that joke. The joke that I made for, like, okay, for the podcast. The joke that I made, yes, we're talking about the wedding for the second week in a row.
Yeah,
yes.
Fuck it, but I'm here, so.
Yeah, go fuck yourselves. Like, okay, there's a skip ahead button on your iTunes thing. Don't do it, though.
It's funny.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah, look, we're making it funny. We're mixing a couple fucks and shits in there. We're all drinking. The joke that I found, I got off it was a British kind of like, I could tell it was a Brit that was making
a speech. Of course, just very dry.
So yeah, it was a dry thing. So like, I saw the joke. I was like, that's funny. Like, it's one of the funnier jokes. So it was the one I remembered. And then I told it to like a couple of the groomsmen. They're like, oh, dude, you put that in. I'm like, you think so?
But our groomsmen are rather intelligent people.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, Bangor is also like a place in Europe that's like more well known than Bangor, Maine.
I knew of Bangor, Maine immediately.
That's what I thought. Like, I thought, okay.
Although you did pick a very obscure state.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I could, but like, what could I say? Like,
I'm going to make her Des Moines like Iowa.
The original joke was going to be, ups and downs, most of them in bed, you know. Your marriage will have many ups and downs, may most of them be in bed.
Although, I do have to say, between Kyle and Jesse's maid of honor, Bobby, we had some fucking killer, killer speeches.
For real.
Like, Jesse's dad knocked it out of the park. I love my dad very much, he was very nervous.
Yeah, so was I.
Wait, you didn't show it, though.
Oh, man, I was so nervous. I was like, because I was walking around the whole dance floor and everything. I was nervous
All right, to get a little sensitive on this podcast, I really did not know you were going to incorporate all the emotions that you did.
Yeah. That's a part of a good best man. You got to make them laugh. Make them cry.
I will say this much. As my wedding went, I cried most for A, my wife,
yeah.
B, Kyle.
Oh, I'll toast to that. Yeah, how about
hey,
that?
Hey, drink if you got them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, so much gin. Yeah. So much gin. All right, so I don't know. I don't want to bore people 2 weeks in a row. Like, it's interesting to Nick and I, and it's interesting to our immediate friends, but I don't want to bore everybody with wedding details. But it's an exciting thing. Nick got married, and we're happy.
Yeah,
for him.
I'm a husband.
Yeah, he's a husband. As I told him at the
wait, I can correlate this to sports. Literally, my wedding band has lightning bolts on
it. It's got lightning bolts on it.
I will tweet a picture out that later.
And like, as I said to Nick, right after he got married, it now costs money to break up.
Yeah, literally, the best quote of the night. Well, actually, it was the morning after. We're getting ready to go on our honeymoon, and we're decorating the car, and everybody's laughing and smiling, and Kyle comes out nonchalantly and says, now it costs money to break up. And then he walks away, like drops the mic. That's exactly that. That was like Kyle's last quote to me.
You know, the speech I wrote down, I actually put like to drop the mic. But I was like, nah, that's a nice mic. I don't want to fuck this up. I don't want to fuck this shit up.
We know about mics now.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a thing. Like, when I got the mic, I was like, hey, I know how to use you.
But I will say this much. For all the speeches, you knew how and where to position the mic.
Yeah.
Everybody else was kind of lost with the thing.
They were just kind of down here.
Like holding up against their tits and shit like that.
Get it right up on the...
Yeah, gotta get it right up on the...
What's up, guys?
Oh, God.
This is how I use a mic. Okay, all wait. Right. Okay.
Sports. This is a sports podcast.
I haven't talked to you since we won against Dallas, is what happened.
Oh, my God, yeah. I haven't talked to you in 2 weeks, and we won two in a row.
Yeah, we won two in a row. Dallas, and then we beat Matt Castle and Mark Sanchez.
Wait a second, but we did break a record.
Okay, what's that?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a record for the longest running streak without multiple wins in a row. And that lasted back.
That was our first two wins.
That was the first win. No, that was the first back-to-back win since like 2007. Well, I might be misquoting the year, but we did have the longest active streak in the NFL for not having multiple wins.
I don't know. For some reason, I thought that we had back-to-back wins earlier this year, but I guess I'm wrong.
Nope.
Maybe it was back-to-back home wins or something. Or no, it wasn't.
It wasn't even that.
I don't know. What the fuck? Okay, never mind. It was a home win.
Yeah. It was a home win.
A home win. That was
the Bucs finally broke that long snide of not having... Well, you know what? We always talk about on this podcast about what's the difference between last year and this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you this. Last year, we would not...
We won two games this year?
No. Last year, we would not have beat two backups.
That's correct. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because the difference between last year and this year is...
Jameis Winston?
No.
Okay,
last year, if this Eagle game was played last year, it would have been the other way. It would have been 45-17 Eagles. And I know this because as soon as the Eagles come out and they get the early touchdown against us.
And we fold.
In spectacular fashion. I mean, they completely they make a great play that cuts our defense in half.
Yes, but they shouldn't have the ball at that point in time, because it should have been our ball.
Well, that's true.
Because his knee was down.
That is true. But, you know, they still made a great play.
Yeah, once they got the other side of the 50, they definitely beat us.
Right. And then we go 3-and-out the next series, and I'm like, oh, God.
Here it goes again.
Here it goes. Like, here we go.
You and the rest of the Bucs fans.
Right. But surely enough, our defense makes a stop, and then Doug Martin comes out eventually. And
goes all Duggernaut on
everybody. Goes all Duggernaut, runs it all the way fucking
Although,
down.
In classic Buck fashion, he has the longest run in Buccaneers franchise without a touchdown.
What's that?
84.
Oh, Doug Martin?
84 yards.
Interesting.
It's like, well, because you remember last year when Vincent Jackson had that 90-yard reception
and didn't score.
And then we went 3-and-out to kick a field goal.
Right. No.
Or did we go for it on 4th and miss it?
I can't remember. I don't think...
All I know is we didn't score a touchdown there.
I don't think... Yeah, we did that. We definitely did not score a touchdown on that drive.
So it's just, in complete Bucs fashion, we're going to do really, really good, but not score.
No, I didn't think that. No, at that point... See... At the point of the Doug... Oh, God.
Yeah. Number 80.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz is basically dead on the field.
That's right.
Although, I got to say, him walking off really did relax me, because holy shit, I didn't think he was going to walk off.
Concussion protocol. Yeah, concussion protocol.
Well, no, he fell on his neck.
I mean, Jonathan...
It was almost like my keg stand.
I watched the... yeah, really. I watched the... we dropped Nick on his head for a keg stand, but
then fucking laughed at me instead of picking me up.
That was hilarious. I was watching the game with Jonathan, and I broke out the old thing that I usually do with you, like you and I do whenever someone gets hurt on the opposite team. We're all like, oh, geez,
you know what? You should really rest him. He should be out the rest of the game.
He does not need to be in for the rest of the game. Yeah, yeah. He needs to rest that injury up. I'm concerned about his health.
Yeah,
that's how it needs to happen.
Yep.
But to get back to my original point, I mean, this felt like a blowout game. Like, last year, this would have been a blowout game.
Yeah,
like,
this was a blowout game in the making.
Right. I'm 100% sure that that's what this would have been. But our defense goes out, stops Mark Sanchez, gives the ball back to our offense, and then our offense drives down and gets a touchdown to Mike Evans.
Not a field goal.
Not a field goal, but a touchdown.
But a touchdown.
Right. After that huge Doug Martin run, which just kind of maybe settled the team down a little. I'm like, okay.
So I have a stat for you.
Okay, what's that?
Jameis Winston, 5 for 5 in the red zone with 5 touchdowns.
This week? Or
yeah.
Last week, rather? Yeah.
I mean,
he was good.
He did. I mean, if I've never seen a player in this league. Granted, I have only really been concentrating on the Bucs and the NFC South.
Right.
But I've yet to see a player acknowledge from week to week, oh, I made that mistake. Well, won't do that again.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Cam Newton comes to mind. He had a great rookie season. RG3 also comes
yes,
to mind.
Yes, but he regressed. Cam Newton is the definition for sophomore slump.
Yeah. He has.
Well, actually, no, I take that back.
Well, his defense,
RG3 is the definition for
but I'm just
sophomore
saying,
slump.
Cam Newton's defense definitely bails him out a lot of the time,
oh, yeah.
too, as well.
Well, so. I mean, that has to be something has to be said about that because the Carolina Panthers' defense is better than ours.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, most definitely.
Well,
like, for sure.
Granted, they're 10-0, but yeah. Still.
But no, like.
But, you know, we have the same exact schedule as the Carolina Panthers. So anybody out there saying the Bucks?
Do we really?
Think
no,
about
it can't be the exact. Well, it's
dude, they're in our division. They play the exact same. The only difference they have is we play Carolina twice and they play Tampa Bay twice. That's it. Because they play the same week NFC South and the AFC South. No, what's the Cowboys in? NFC East?
NFC East.
Yeah, they play the weak NFC East and the weak AFC South, just like we do.
Just like AL East. You can like.
Yeah, it's seriously.
Fuck, you're right. They play our exact same schedule.
So is anybody.
Well, they had the Packers. They played the Packers.
So do we.
No, we played the Bears this year.
Oh.
That's our NFC North opponent.
Well, then there's a big difference in our schedule.
That's a pretty big difference.
But disregarding
game.
That one game.
It's a mirror
well,
image.
Well, to this day, they've. That well, I can't say that because they beat the Packers and we haven't played the Bears yet. Anywho, they have relatively the same schedule that we do, and they're undefeated, and they're considered a very good team. Yet
oh wait, I'm sorry, Seahawks as well. They played the Seahawks too. I don't know who we play in the West.
Rams.
Nice.
But I will say this much: if they're legitimate at 10-0. Then we're something to be reckoned with at 5-5. I'm not saying we're at nearly as good as them because we literally have won half the games they have.
I mean, 37-23 the last time we played them. I mean, a lot of our points were scored in garbage time, but I mean, we still.
But so were theirs. Like, they had 10 points in garbage time.
Yeah. That was a really weird game against the Panthers that we played. There was a lot of things that just went the Panthers' way in that game that we just. That was beyond our control. But. We're playing the Panthers the last game of the season this year, and they're 10-0, and they're going to be resting starters.
I was about to say, there's a decent chance we're going to be playing Derek Anderson again.
Yeah.
But I will say this much. Rather than last year, I feel like we're ready for Derek Anderson.
Absolutely. We're going to – if the Panthers – like, I don't make a lot of calls on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't like to do that. But if the Panthers are resting starters week 10
– we win.
Or not week 10, but
week,
you know,
week 17. Yeah, we win.
We're going to win. That's my bold prediction.
I will say this much. Apparently, Levante David listens to Word of the Bay because he has made you – eat every single word about him ever since you brought it up.
He got me excited. I'm like, what? He does? Well, Mr. David, would you like to come on the podcast?
But ever since you called him out for being like, I remember the rant specifically. You're like, what? What talent? What prospect? What has he done?
Why is he on the side of the stadium?
And literally, in the 3 weeks since then, he's shown you.
He's starting to get it. He's really starting to get, like, his responsibility is in this defense.
Well, no, and I know we had the D team because we had David Deal.
Yeah.
Pointed it out, though. He's saying, I'm pretty sure that this guy is starting to trust.
Wait, Marquise.
Quan Alexander.
Marquise, he's live with us on Mixel.
Yeah, Marquise.
What was David Deal? Is that the B? Is that the D team? Like he know, Marquise.
Oh
knows,
yeah, this is literally
this
the
is
extra.
The guy that he knows.
That's either the D or E team.
So what was he saying?
But he said Levante David is starting to trust Quan Alexander.
He's starting because to trust the defense. I mean, he's starting to do his goddamn job in the defense. I mean, for the last. A few weeks, he was doing everybody else's job, and he was trying to be all over the field.
But that's my exact point, is the fact that he's starting to trust his supporting cast to do their job, mm-hmm. so he can be that ball-hawking linebacker that everybody assumed he was.
He's doing a lot better. He is doing a lot better. And it's you know, it's kind of a credit to everybody. Like, a lot of people ask me, like where are the improvements on the defense? And here they are. We kept the who the fuck playing the goddamn highlights. We kept the Giants down until that last drive. Cowboys, we limited Cowboys and Dez Bryant. Beat the Falcons.
We limited. I mean, we squashed.
Had
them.
A chance. We should have beat the Giants. We really should have.
We
beat
really should have beat the Giants.
David Deal. He said David Deal was hideous. You're being warned. He's so bad. Matt Millen is. What else? What does he say? Matt Millen. Is calling, he's calling this Sunday for us instead. Ah, okay. Mm. Matt Millen, bad as a GM, okay as an announcer. He said the F team.
Yeah, he
the
was
F
part of the team. He was part of the 2016 team, right? He was.
Oh yeah,
he was the, GM for the Detroit, for right?
Yeah.
Wait, who was the head coach? You know this?
Not Mariucci, but
defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Marinelli.
Yeah, Marinelli. Rod Marinelli.
There was a point I was going to make, and now I forget.
David Deal's a dick.
Yeah. The thing you were talking about with Winston, like Winston almost looks like he gets better from week to week. It's almost like what you said, like with like, okay. Well, we can't score in the red zone. He's like, oh, we can't score in the red zone? Well, let me just kind of...
So that's our issue?
Let me put that into my computer brain and just like, we can score in the red zone now.
It's like he found a fucking bobblehead in Fallout and he's like, I now know red zone scoring.
Yeah, no, it's like he's Neo in the Matrix and like he just uploads all that information to his brain. He's like, I now know how to score in the red zone.
I know red zone offense. Okay.
Whoa. And the Eagles were a good defense.
I was just about to say, they were ranked in top 10, right?
Yes, they were.
And
well, we were ranked in some sort of top 10 as well. So.
Yeah, but the difference is our D held.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Philadelphia's gave up 235 rushing yards to Doug Martin.
It was near Adrian Peterson's record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's ranked second in the league right now.
Second in the league, and he's ranked seventh in Pro Bowl voting. Yeah.
Because he's a buck.
Not a fucking travesty.
That's it. Because he's a buck.
I saw
that is literally it. But I tell you what, if we go 6-5, and I understand that 5-5 is a big thing for us, mm-hmm. but 6-5, the Bucks being above 500 puts the rest of the NFL on notice because nobody gives a shit about us right now. We could very easily go 5-6,
right?
Or no. We could very easily go 5-6, 5-7,
right?
And then slip him to
the
obscurity.
Bucks have done this before.
Yeah, we've done this.
Yeah,
if we win. We haven't done this. We haven't sustained and gotten to the point where we're like, hey, guess what?
Since the
we're winning the games we're supposed to win.
Yeah, since the I think the 9-7 Shiano season, I think it was, or something like the last time we were 9-7 at our best the last time.
So I have to ask, and this is a topic I wanted to bring up as a main talking point.
Uh-huh.
Clearly, we don't get rid of Lovie right now, right?
No.
He could lose the rest of the games this year.
Marquise just said it, too. 5-5 shuts up the Lovie must go talk.
And you know what? I genuinely do respect a lot of the people that have said Lovie needs to go.
Right.
Because I feel like they make fair points.
I mean, they're certainly getting their frustrations out.
But that's exactly what it is. It's frustrations.
Right. Yeah. You can't act on that sort of thing because it's like, okay... We fire Lovie, and then we start over with personnel that Lovie brought in, with personnel that Shiano brought in, even with personnel that Raheem Morris brought in.
We fucking made a joke about it, about when we had our Bolts of Fire.
joke? Sticks of Fire?
No. We had Bucks of Fire.
Oh, man.
Episode Bucks of Fire.
We got to talk Sticks of Fire a little bit.
We'll get that in the second half.
We will. I might even want to see if I can call up Anthony.
But I'll say this much. We had enough people of enough importance on this show saying Lovey should go.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And enough people with enough know-how to trust them.
Chris from Bucks Brief said it. A lot of people that I respect on Twitter.
A lot of people that I value their opinion.
Yeah, that it said Lovey's got to go, and I didn't agree with them necessarily.
No. And that's the point I was getting to, is Kyle, literally, as soon as Chris hung up the phone, it was like, I don't agree with that.
I mean, I told him, I said, you know what? I don't know that that's the right way to go.
So you know what? I have to say this. I was on the Fire Lovey train. I will completely jump in front of that bullet because my co-host Kyle here had faith.
I've got faith.
And he's proven to be the wiser man of the two of us here because you didn't have the short-sightedness to see a bad 3-5 team.
Yeah.
You saw the fact that Lovey had made improvements in enough areas that we should have won most games.
Right.
I mean, you could arguably, we could easily be 7-3 right now. There's two games we should have won.
The Washington game, okay, that was a collapse. That was unacceptable, but we still had a chance to win game.
Yeah,
the game was in our hands.
It took Kirk Cousins to have the game of his fucking life to beat us.
But not only that, but like we had the game in the palm of our hands to win. The game was ours to win. We controlled our own destiny, and then we let it out of our hands. Did the defense break down? Yes.
Yeah.
But did we have a chance to win the game? Yes, we did.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, we did. The Texans game, yes, we had a chance to win that fucking game. Carolina, no. Jameis threw too many interceptions. If you turn the ball over that much, you're not going to win the fucking game. The Giants as well. I mean, the Giants, we had our destiny in our hands. We could have won that game, and we didn't. However, like if I was the prophet on the last few podcasts, and if I'm the one that was, you know, the doer who kind of played it cool with the not fire Lovey train, let me just put this out here for everybody listening. And I'm sorry to be the one to have to say this. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry that you guys have to hear this. But there are games left to lose this season. Yep. All this playoff talk, you're getting a little ahead of yourself. I'm sorry.
These are 11-week fans talking about the end of the season.
Yeah. As I get older.
Let me remind you, the Bucks went 9-4. At one point in time.
Right.
And Kyle, refresh my memory. What happened at the end of that season?
Oh, just the worst collapse.
The worst ever.
I've ever seen.
We fucking lost 4 games and fired John Gruden.
The worst, yes. Oh, God. The worst collapse ever. Fucking, oh,
so
Jesus.
Before everybody gets their dick all hard, remember, this is 5 wins.
Look, I'm saying that we were a bad team last year, and we are an improved team this year. And that is awesome, and I'm so happy with that.
Yes, I agree.
If we lose the rest of every game out from this year, I'll be pissed. I'll be absolutely pissed.
I will be fucking mad.
And we're going to keep Lovey, but I don't think that's going to happen. However, I don't think that we're going to make the playoffs.
No, I'm potentially seeing I see a scenario in which we win realistically 2 more games this year.
2 more games is
we go 7-9 fair. And it's like,
yeah.
All right, well, this was the Bucks.
You're absolutely right.
But
you're absolutely no, I can't agree with you more. You're right. I mean, two more games is my ceiling at this point.
Yeah.
That's the best case scenario.
And I'll say this much, Kyle, you and I really need to start investing in knee pads. Because on this show, not 3 weeks ago, we told Jonathan we would suck Lovey's dick. For 8-8.
Yeah, shit. Let's get down here. You're right. I'm right. I would suck his dick. It's true.
It's true. We're 5-5 right now. If we go 500 the rest of the season, I will show up at One Buck Place, knock on the door, and just put my knee pads on.
Yeah, Marquise,
I'll do it.
Marquise is saying we go 7-9 or 8-8. I like that would be great for me. Like that's a win.
That's a win.
That was my ceiling going into the season. I said 8-8 was great.
You said at best we would be 7-9.
Yeah. I mean,
I get it. We flip-flopped on the show a lot of times, so well, fuck you. It's my show. I can do what I want.
Hey, flip-flopping just means that you are willing to admit that you were wrong before.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So I think...
Yeah, what are you talking about? I called Colts and fucking...
Yeah, so did I.
half of my... Well, actually, three-fourths Oh my God! I just realized I bet the Packers, Rams, Chargers, and Colts. That was my four.
Oh well, I knew
three of the four.
I knew you were way off base with the Chargers.
Yeah, but you know what I said in the beginning of the year?
What's that?
Philip Rivers will have an elite quarterback year, which he's having. He's the only quarterback to have a 95-plus rating on a 2-9 team.
You know, that's such a travesty that he's just so
he's, like, on that team. Like,
he's so good.
Like, someone fucking trade. Please, trade him.
The only reason they have, like, winning records is because of him.
Yep.
Crazy.
Seriously, if you put him on the Eagles, they're a playoff team.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Or the Rams.
Yeah.
The Rams will be unstoppable.
Bye.
Philip Rivers. Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
Fucking.
It hurts me to think about that.
Yeah. God, don't trade him to the NFC. Please. So
yeah.
Can you please give him to New York so that the Jets can finally beat the Patriots? Please.
Okay. Off the top of your head, who's older, Philip Rivers or Tony Romo?
Philip Rivers.
Think so?
Yeah.
I think Romo's is
no, 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 no. I've known about Rivers for a
while. Philip Rivers is 33.
And Tony Romo is 31.
I'm going to say Tony Romo is 35. Yeah, 35.
God damn.
1980.
Wow. I had no... Wow. Doesn't that make you feel old?
Yeah, it does.
You know, I watched today... Actually, I didn't really get to watch it. I was watching at work, but it was the Classics 1997 Super Bowl between... New England and Green Bay.
Yeah.
Do you know who was on the New England Patriots in 1998?
Brett Favre.
Adam Vinatieri.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Dude's been playing for two decades.
You want to feel old? Look how many active or players are still active from the 2007 draft. I know I always bring up the 2007 draft. Fuck
because
me.
He's dead.
Yeah. Jamarcus Russell, not active. Joe Thomas, I believe he's still active. Yeah, he's still active.
Yeah, he's still yeah.
Gaines Adams, famously dead. Levi Brown, I don't know. LeRon
Landry.
Famously
a gene.
It's just kind of interesting to me, like how old, like, or when you look at these guys, like some of the key players from the 07 draft, all old guys.
I mean, seriously.
Patrick Willis retired.
This is just the top 20. We have Calvin Johnson, Joe Thomas, Adrian Peterson, Patrick Willis, Marshawn Lynch, Darrell Revis, like, holy shit.
Right, but when you look at those guys, like when you look
they're
at
all in the twilight of their career.
Yeah, you look at them and, oh, those are old dudes.
Yep.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Fucking, I heard on NFL XM earlier today that Darrell Revis is over the hill.
Oh, yeah.
And then it made me kind of occur to me. I was like, oh, my God, they're right.
We had Darrell at, like, the end of his peak.
Yes. He was literally, he just hit the hill and started going downhill.
Right. Yeah. He won. I think he won his Super Bowl.
Yeah, and then we let him fucking walk. And then we let him walk.
Yeah, I think at this point he's 30. He's got another 5, maybe 6 years.
I'll say this
lucky.
Much: I think Darrell Revis won because of Belichick. Like, he's a very, very good cornerback, but Belichick set him up with so many surrounding supporting casts that he got to be what he was. Like, now that he's on the Jets, it's like, yeah, Revis Island, go
Revis,
fucking fix it. And then Pierre Garçon fucking smokes him. And the only reason I know that is because I started Garçon against him, and he fucking beat the shit out of him.
Garçon?
Pierre Garçon.
Pierre Garçon. I'm sorry, I'm trying to text Anthony to see what he's up to.
Do it. Strike twice. Come on. Somebody tweet at him.
Hey, Anthony.
what are you doing?
Are you...
He recently celebrated a birthday, so to all those people who drink to this podcast, take a drink for Anthony, because he's 1 year away from legally drinking.
Well, I want to get him on because there was some shit that went down last week with the Sticks of Fire, and like, there's a lot of bullshit that kind of went down on Twitter, and I kind of want to have him on to get his side of it.
Uh-oh, does Scott hate us?
No, he doesn't hate us, but I mean, there's just some shit that happened.
Ruh-roh.
Anyways, I guess to recap this whole side of the podcast... I say get prepared, Bucks fans, for a lot more win or for a lot more losses.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm fully prepared to lose this week against Hasselbeck. At the same time, I think this is a game.
They're fucking
3-0
with Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah. Like,
for all you people who think, oh, we got a backup, like, they're better with Matt Hasselbeck than they were with a broken Andrew Luck.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So everybody's like, oh, well, fucking, at least we're not playing Andrew Luck. Well, at least Hasselbeck's completely healthy.
Yeah, and lest all of you motherfuckers forget, Hasselbeck played in the Super Bowl and should have won that Super Bowl.
He should have won it. And then Roethlisberger went ahead and raped a ref.
Oh, okay.
That's what happened, right?
Okay.
All right, so one more thing about the Bucks.
So
we got a new power rankings came out.
Oh, two more things. I want to after you do the power rankings things, I want to bring something else up.
The Bucks are 15th
in power rankings,
according to NFL. But one of the experts, and I throw the air quotes up very strongly for experts, had us ranked 12th. Kyle, remind me, how many teams make the playoffs?
That would be 6
from each conference, which makes 12.
12. Yes.
Which means, according to that expert, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a playoff team, which everybody...
No.
No, we're not. No, we're not. But you know what we are?
What's that?
We are a playoff team 11 weeks in.
I'll give you that. I'll
because
it.
You know what? Nothing counts 11 weeks in.
And in closing... Okay, one more thing with the Bucks, and then we'll close it out.
Yeah, no. Keep going.
And then we'll close it out. Okay, so Doug Martin's in his contract year. I mean, this is the whole we're talking about with Stamkos and
we sign him and he sucks.
I don't know. Like if we don't re-sign Doug Martin, I'm not really too heartbroken. If we do, awesome.
Yeah, well, I think it has a lot to do with Chris Sims.
Chris Sims, Charles Sims,
Charles Sims. Charles Sims. Why do I always fall? Chris Sims Spleens, used to play for us.
Yeah. Surge Green. Spleens are green.
Well, Sims provides us with a very, very comfortable security blanket. And Bobby Rainey is not the most... honestly, you got to think about 1, 2, and 3. I can't think through the NFL who has a more NFL-ready backfield.
Here's what I...
Between Doug Martin, Charles Sims, and Bobby Rainey
Jr. That's a great three-headed monster.
It really is.
Yeah. I think with regards to Doug Martin, if we lose him, we can always go out and draft a dude and just, you know.
Who's going to be almost as good.
Yeah. Marquise says Martin is gone. I
can't argue with that, though.
Yeah, neither can I.
It's
if
because,
gone,
you know, the
he's
money
gone.
He's the money he's going to ask for, we're not going to pay him.
Right. But the premium on running backs is not what it used to be.
It's
in
not.
The NFL,
he's
no.
gonna be extremely valuable in fantasy and not so much in real life.
Look at DeMarco Murray, like the perfect example of like he went and got his cash and now he's what is he doing?
And what is he doing exactly?
Yeah, I think running backs aren't what they used to be. You don't see him drafted first round unless your name is Todd Gurley.
No, I mean you can argue. You can genuinely argue that a very good number two wide receiver is more valuable than a top tier running back.
Yeah. Yeah. Marquise is bringing up a lot of good points. I mean, you see like dudes like Darren Sproles and Reggie Bush.
They're fine. They do great.
Who were big playmakers, but just seem to never find like one solid.
No. I mean, like they do fine in their career.
Right. Oh,
and
they did.
Where are they other than the depths of obscurity?
But Doug Martin did come out today and say that like he's building a he built a home in Tampa.
Great,
he's committed to Tampa.
Yeah, it's fun. Aaron Rodgers, A-Rod did too. It's a great place to live in the off season.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm prepared. I'm fully prepared to
lose. Don't fucking. That's not something to weigh on, dude. You have enough money to buy a house in the Tampa area. Congratulations, retail's cheap.
Yeah, I'd like to keep him. It'd be awesome, but I don't really see it. It'll be tough to keep him. And whatever. Mm. We'll go draft a dude. We'll be fine. We got Jameis. As long as we got Jameis, things will be fine.
I wanted to bring up a would you question.
What's that?
Would you trade Jameis Winston for J.J. Watt straight up?
No, fuck no. Get the fuck out of here. Go fuck yourself. Like, no way. No way. Wait, what? Whose chairs are these?
Not my chairs, not my problem.
Not my chairs, not my problem. What is this, fucking Johnny Balloon Hands?
So I got to ask, why isn't that worth it?
Because J.J. Watt
is, what, 5 years in this career?
Let's just, 5 years in his career, plus let's just look at the wins above replacement for the two guys. I mean, we won two games last year without Jameis, and with Jameis, we've already won 5. I mean, there's no way I would ever do that.
I guarantee you Marquise is yelling at his radio
right
now.
He says no, period. No.
Oh, wow. No. Wow. I really thought J.J. Watt would bring more argument than Jameis Winston. Really. I really, really did. Because the one thing J.J. Watt has going for him is consistency.
Well, we don't know yet with Jameis. I mean, Jameis could very well... This could just be a flash in the pan, and he could go out next year and have a shitty year.
He could.
And be a complete bust. I'm willing to admit that. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's... you know, I still, it's a possibility. But the ceiling is higher for Jameis. I think J.J. Watt, we're at least touching his ceiling. The reason
I feel like you choose Jameis over J.J. Watt is because the position of quarterback is more valuable than defensive rusher.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%.
Yeah,
yeah. You know,
So what if they gave us J.J. Watt and T.J. Yates?
No, Jameis.
I don't give a shit about anybody on the Houston, Texas. Yeah,
you could say Tom Brady.
What if it was Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt?
Fuck yourself.
No, so you're telling Jameis. Me you have Jaquie Smith, Gerald McCoy, J.J. Watt, and Jadeveon Clowney? Yeah, think about that.
All right, well, I'm going to think about it.
Because who are you going to double team?
Fuck, I want a quarterback in this goddamn town. I've never ridden for a good quarterback. I've had 10 years of a
that's
good
right.
defense.
I've had Warren Sapp. Fuck this.
Yeah, Warren Sapp played for my team. I'm tired. Like, that's old news. I want a quarterback.
I've done this.
Yeah.
We had a block 99. He was better.
We got a guy. He looks good. Fucking play that guy. Fuck.
Do you see how starved for a quarterback this city is?
Oh, we're so starved.
Like, literally, we have nothing to guarantee that Jameis Winston might be anything better than above average.
Dude, he's
literally the best we've got.
Look, man, I've gone on this podcast before and said I'm not, like, Jameis's number one fan.
You are now.
But he is something, like, I've never, ever seen before. Like, I've Josh Freeman in his first year looked like dog shit. Like, Jameis Winston looks like a fucking Hall of Famer. Ooh. In his first year.
He said T.J. Yates can beat out Glennon. I disagree strongly.
Think so?
Yeah. I think
Glenn is solid.
I think Mike Glennon might be the best backup in the NFL.
He's the best backup in the NFC South.
Marquise, I'm going to call you out on that because I'm pretty sure Mike Glennon would start on at least a third of the teams in the NFL. I cannot say the same about T.J. Yates.
You know what? I want to go back to Jameis real quick. All right, but you know, you're right. Fuck you, Marquise. T.J. Yates. Fuck yourself.
Second, are you just a Glennon hater? You're a Glennon hater. Free the giraffe. Free the giraffe.
I think we need to trade Glennon.
Yeah, we do.
And then get like a veteran to like hang out with Jameis.
And you know what? Yeah. Because you know what? I really want to see Mike Glennon do well. So maybe we just trade him to New England.
What do you think of the whole the hunting ground thing on CNN where it came out? Like, Jameis is threatening to sue the CNN because they aired the hunting ground because it's, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I read that whole article about him. And the thing is, the biggest issue I have with it is the lead director for the documentary is a devout feminist.
Yeah.
Who never explained the other side of the story.
Yeah, it's a very biased.
It's a one-sided story. And I'm not saying this as a Winston fan. I'm not saying this as a Bucks fan. I'm not saying this as a Knowles fan. It got one-sided.
Yeah.
And you can make anything. You could fucking make fucking Third Reich sound worthwhile if you explain one side of the story.
Right. I mean, you're right. Yeah. Look at what they did for medicine and manufacturing. They made the fucking VW Beetle.
They made aspirin.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you guys. Like, that doesn't tell the whole story.
I've been reading a lot. Like, I know people are going to, like, fucking
educate us. Fine.
No.
I want to be on this pod. Like, if you want to call me out over something, bring your shit, know your shit, call me out on it, and I'll eat my words.
I've just been I've been reading up a lot on the whole case of Jameis and Kleinsman, and like I've come to this to the conclusion that there is fuckery afoot on both accounts.
There's two
parts of the story that just there's fuckery afoot on her account, on his account. It just doesn't make sense.
And you know what it sounds like to me? Two very young people got into a situation neither of them wanted, and neither's pride wanted to back down.
There's a lot of
they're like, no. He fucking raped me. No. She was easy. She wanted to be in here. I feel like two very young people got drunk and video got involved.
Shit went down that night. And I don't know. Like, none of us can say beyond a shadow of a doubt what the fuck happened. No.
Anybody pretends to, though, you're fucking lying to yourself.
Right. And I don't say you're pretend to. I'm just saying that, like, my politics are such that I side more with the victim. But, yeah, you know, I understand.
Especially
if you
in
decide,
rape. Yeah, I get
if you decide more with Jameis. That's fine. I've read articles on both sides. So, I mean, at this point, it's like there's fuckery afoot.
Yeah, but the thing
is,
Kyle, as a person, you're a very definitive opinion.
I try to be pragmatic about the whole thing. I try to look at both sides and, like, okay, both sides have points. Like,
but as soon as you find a good side, you usually stick to it.
I can't find a good side.
Whole situation, I think it's been like, well, he might have, he might not have.
Yeah, every time I'm like, well, fuck Jameis, he's a fucking raped her.
And something,
like,
else comes up.
People,
like,
come out and, like, oh, have you read this, this, and this? I'm like, no, I haven't. Let me read it. I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, you're right, I guess. Yeah, and then I'm like, well, maybe she lied. And, like, some people come out, well, have you read this, this, and this? I'm like, fuck, yeah.
He fucking raped her.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I hate to ride the fucking fence, but it's,
no,
I mean,
no,
that's
Marquise
just how I am.
Put it perfectly. It's a classic he said, she said.
It is a classic he said, she said.
There's just,
I can't.
Look, anybody here thinks they'll find the bottom of this? You won't.
Look, I can't sit here and say that he raped her so much as I can sit here and say that he didn't. So it's, to me, it's just like, I don't fucking know.
It's a wash.
I don't know. Don't fucking know.
I'll say this much. All those people who were okay with Ben Roethlisberger coming back in the league, there's more evidence against him than is against Jameis Winston.
Dude, if O.J. Simpson had killed Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman when he was 25 and still in the prime of his career, Bill would have got another 5-10 years at him.
Oh, yeah.
Really easy.
They would have been like, no, he clearly didn't do it. Look at him. Look at his 40 speed. He clearly didn't do it.
Fucking travesty.
Yeah, but you know what? The NFL also wouldn't have said, hey, don't try on that glove.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had Robert Kardashian.
Why would you do that, though? Like, oh, it fits. Well, that wasn't supposed to happen. Look at this coinky dink.
How do we... Well, look at this. What do you think of Jameis getting the third stringer job? Or not Jameis, but...
Menzel. I'll say this much. Is it a bad thing that he partied? No, not at all. But you don't get to go through rehab and then come out and do that on your bye week.
Yeah, I mean,
but there is speculation that that wasn't the bye week. So we're playing with, like, an incomplete deck of cards right now. So I'll say this much. If it turns out that that was last week during the bye week, he just got awarded the starting job. He literally just had Mike Pettine announce that he was a starter for the rest of the season. So what does he do? He goes back to his old ways and fucking parties it up. That sucks. He deserves it. But if it turns out that that fucking film was from the off season before he went into rehab, the entire city of Cleveland has a bunch of crow to eat.
No, I think this is my take on it. Like, if I said, Nick, you're getting too drunk every podcast, I need you to stop drinking every podcast. You're like, oh, dude, yeah, really?
I completely believe it.
Yeah,
yeah, I got it.
You know what? Yeah, dude. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to stop. And then next podcast, you're drunk. And I'm like, well, okay. Seriously,
you
need to stop drinking every podcast. And, you know, and you just kept doing it. And, like, I asked you to stop and you just kept doing it. That's basically Menzel to the Browns. Like, there's nothing wrong with him partying and going out and doing all that bullshit.
As a person.
As
an adult, he's fine.
He's fine.
But as a professional football player,
show that
you are falling short.
Yeah, show that you're accountable. Show that you've learned a lesson. And
which is the one thing he clearly is not able to do.
This is what got me blocked by Steve White, because, like, he tweeted something about it. And I responded to it of just saying, like, you know, it wasn't so much this as it was that. And he's like, well, if you would have heard my timeline 30 minutes earlier, you would have
click.
Like, his basic argument is that, like, of course I knew that. I'm too smart for that.
I'm Steve White.
I don't know.
From my limited experience with Twitter, exposes me as to one thing: as soon as you make a point, you're blocked.
I've always thought he was such a cool dude. Like, he was, like, I was so, like, I liked Steve White so much, and, like, I'm at work, so, like, I just log on to Twitter and, like, there's my timeline, and I'm like, let me just make a point. I don't even think it's a stupid point. You could just fucking ignore me or just do something like that. But he, like, chose to be like, oh man, it was just, it was such a like a shit show of like him just like calling out the semantics of me calling out his tweet of like Captain Obvious, and if you would have like, oh fuck,
smart
you.
Smart people, perceived smart people don't like to be called out.
He's just, yeah. Well, he called himself, he's like, I'm smarter than you. It's like, okay. Have you seen that like subreddit called r/very smart?
Oh, I am very smart.
I am very smart. yeah. I'm clearly very smart.
Well, all you needed to respond with is like, a king who needs to proclaim he's king is no king.
Is no king. You're exactly right. You have to say that you're smart. You might not be smart.
Hey, wait, listeners of Word of the Bay, we're not very smart.
Just make. I'm not smart.
We are extremely passionate, and that's about as far as it gets.
We always say, "Hey, we don't claim to be smarter than you."
Yeah, but fuck you. It's fact.
It's fact. Yeah, you come at me, bro. let's take a quick break so we can reset the mixer. So so Marquise doesn't have to be out of the live broadcast, and we'll do a quick commercial, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little some other sports,
a little ice hockey.
Yeah. Audible trial.com/shark.
And if you didn't understand that, go to www.audibletrial.com/shark to get your free audio trial. It's a 30-day free trial. We have over 180,000 titles to choose from.
180,000.
You get a free book on us, and you get to keep it, regardless of your status with Audible. If you decide to take it, yeah. Hey, listen to Navi. If you, hey, and all listen. The way over to Audible and listen to a book, you get to keep it for free.
Wow. Did you hear last week when God was on the podcast?
Yeah, I did. God was good. Navi's better.
He's a good dude.
God's pretty good, though.
So I just learned that Audible recently put all the Harry Potter series on their website. Up until now, when I was saying go listen to all the Audible Harry Potters, like that wasn't on Audible.
He literally was lying.
Turns out they're all on Audible now, and guess what? Fucking Jim Dale's narrating them, and he does he won an award. He won a Grammy for doing the last Harry Potter, for doing the last one.
Ugh. Deathly Hallows.
Deathly Hallows.
Part 2.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Deathly Hallows was just one part.
Deathly Hallows
as a book.
Sorcerer's Stone, the Elder Wand, and then it's the Cloak of Invisibility. You put them all together. It's the
cookie.
It's the fucking Deathly Hallows.
It's just a cookie.
Death.
If you look at it, it's just a big cookie.
Death was fucking with people, man. And he gave one dude a fucking invisibility cloak, gave one dude the Elder Wand, and gave one dude the fucking stone of the Resurrection Stone.
Yeah. And, they all got caught, apparently.
All got caught.
Wait, teaser.
They all got fucking ganked in the Harry Potter series.
Yeah.
If you want to hear that shit, you can hear Jim Dale tell it to you on audibletrial.com/shark.
Yeah, and then you can just imagine Daniel Radcliffe snapping the Elder Wand and throwing it into a ravine.
Expecto Patronus to
boom.
You. Bam. So go to audibletrial.com/shark. If you have an Android, iPod, Kindle, MP3 player, anything you want, if you got something for Christmas and you need something to put it on,
go there and do that.
Go there and do that shit. Do that now. So, once again.
You know what? It's for free.
It's for free. It's for the price of free. So, if you don't like it, sorry. It's free. It's free for you. Free for me. Yeah. AutoPatrol.com/shark. Hey.
Hey, we're back.
It's my line, son.
Hey, fine. Say it.
We're back.
You fucked it up.
Sorry.
I know we went a little Bucks heavy in the first most of the podcast. I don't want to say half, but most.
Right.
But I will say this much. Tampa Bay Lightning, you guys aren't doing much to impress me. So I'm not going to talk about you nearly as much as I should. And it's the Rays off season. So.
Titties and beer.
Pretty much. I will say this much. Tyler Johnson made his glorious return to the lineup tonight against the LA Kings. He's been out for a few games, and so far right now it's 0-0 through the second. So
actually, it's 0-0 through the second.
All right.
So, I'm just going to correct you. Last week, there was some shit talked because the Bolts played 2 straight home games.
Yep.
A win against the Rangers, and then it went against the Ducks.
The Quacks.
And Six of Fire came under fire because of the treatment of old Hank Lundqvist.
Oh, Lundqvist.
I guess they were throwing a little shade at Lundqvist after one goal, kind of taunt him, and you know they kind of got themselves.
I did not hear this actually.
Yeah. Well,
I'll say this much: hey, Sticks of Fire, you keep fighting the good fight. Henrik Lundqvist is about as useful to me as Mike Smith, John Graham. Who else?
What are you getting at?
He's a backup fucking goalie who did shit for us. I don't give a shit who he went to, what he did. He did jack shit while he was here. You know what he did? He got benched by an AHL starter during the playoffs.
Yeah!
That's what he did.
Fuck him! That's what I say.
I don't know. Lundqvist isn't somebody I would shed a tear for.
Yeah, I get that. But a lot of folks are saying that, it's kind of... There are people that are saying that the Sticks of Fire are dividing the fan base. They're dividing the fan base of the people that like the Sticks of Fire and people that don't like the Sticks of Fire.
Okay, well, you know what? I will say this much. Those people who are on the side of we don't like the Sticks of Fire,
gotta close this window.
There's literally no other option for you. So you can either support...
What do you mean no other option?
Is there any other cheering fan base on the Tampa Bay Lightning I know about?
But a lot of people would say that why the fuck do we need a cheering fan base?
Because the general population isn't organized enough. That's why.
No, we're organized just fine. I mean, the Olin Kruitz okay hockey years, we didn't have the Sticks of Fire, and we still drew well. I mean, we didn't always need Sticks of Fire.
You don't, but... I will say this much. Since they've come onto the scene, they have been a focal point for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, and for the large part, I would say it's good. The Sticks of Fire have organized us in a way, shape, or form, whatever you choose to call it, that's been improved compared to what we were.
Right.
That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And Marquise, I couldn't agree with you more. Their chants are rather hokey, but there are chants. They are there every night, and they are a loud, unified voice. Now, can you really critique a fan base that has a dedicated enough system of fans to go there every night, sing and cheer the same chants over and over again, and be belligerent enough to root against a ref or a goalie that happened to have a good call or happened to be part of our team?
Yeah.
I can fully support the Sticks of Fire because of how blindly they follow the Tampa Bay Lightning. That is a cheering section after my own heart. Because you know what? And Scott said it best. You put a Lightning player in the box. Fuck you.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. Because, you know what? In my opinion, Sticks of Fire, they're fanatics.
Now.
And that's the whole term for fans.
Nick, I will say that I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But, I mean,
you can't agree with me wholeheartedly and say but.
Well, it would be a podcast if we just
agreed on everything.
Yeah, if we were entirely just jerking each other off about agreeing with things. So, I mean, let me just preface this by saying I agree with you, but there is a whole section of the fan base, and I will say that it's more fans that are the smarter hockey fans that know a little bit more hockey that are very they know more than just the Lightning. They know the entire league.
Yeah, they understand how hockey. You know. And I'll say this much. I'm proud to be one of them. I'm proud to be one of those players that understands hockey as a sport rather than just being a Lightning fan.
Well, I think those fans are the ones that don't... Those fans are the ones that really don't like the Sticks of Fire because it's looked at as something that makes us look kind of dumb as a fan base. When you cheer an opposing goalie after they give up one goal, or when you do these dumb soccer chants, or you know when you're just loud and obnoxious... it kind of makes us... It doesn't make us look like a smart fan base. It makes us look like a bunch of assholes.
I was fucking waiting for you to say the key words.
What's that?
Loud and obnoxious.
Yeah. Dude, I
do. You know what we have in spades in Tampa Bay?
What's that?
Being loud and obnoxious.
I
don't want to be that smart fan base.
I agree.
Because you know what? We can't. We can never be that smart fan base because we're in Florida.
You're right.
They will never, ever. We could make the most sense as NHL fans, and their write-off for us will be, yeah, well, they're Lightning fans.
I know.
So you know what? Fuck them.
I agree with
you.
We'll
beat them at our game.
I can't help but agree with you. I do. I really do. I mean, those are the same points I was making on Twitter. But I have to be the devil's advocate here. I mean, they're like, if like we want to be looked at as a smart fan base.
No, we don't.
Well,
no, I think
there's a lot of people out there that really want us to look. They want us to be respected in like other hockey markets, namely northern markets.
Okay, you know what?
New York, Boston, Montreal, Toronto, fucking Vancouver, those kind of markets.
Okay, so wait, you listed New York, Montreal, Vancouver, and
Boston.
You know what all four of those teams have in common?
What's that? Dickheads.
Cups.
Dickheads as fans, though. Complete fucking
assholes. Well, not Vancouver. Fuck Vancouver. But nobody gives a shit about their fans.
Okay, Vancouver, but let's switch Vancouver out for Chicago or Detroit.
Exactly. I'm just saying. All I'm saying is when you win, and you win consistently, nobody likes you. Guess who's the most hated team in the NFL right now?
Patriots.
Yes.
Yeah.
And guess what they've done?
The most hated team in the NHL? Blackhawks.
Exactly. All they've done is set the foundation for a dynasty. I would absolutely adore for more people to hate us than like us.
I know.
I hate being that little brother team that everybody's like, oh, look at them. Oh, isn't that cute? Oh, they almost got there. Look at, oh, aren't you so good?
Hockey good. Florida is.
No, fuck you guys. I want you to come into this stadium with that mindset and get your teeth kicked in. Go ahead.
Not to go off topic here, but you just reminded me of something. Like I occasionally like to go and look at the No Sun Melt guy on Twitter. kind of look at the kind of bullshit that he's been peddling.
Whatever
recently.
He's been spitting lately.
And you know, like what he brings up a lot is that kids can't go out in Florida and play hockey outside and do this. And like he brings up like ice hockey, like ponds that are like, you know, like, well, where's this happening in Florida?
There's no pond hockey.
Like, I'm pretty sure from like third grade to fifth grade, every summer, I was going to play roller hockey.
Yeah, I got indoctrinated into playing broom hockey when I was in elementary school.
Yeah, do you even fucking roller hockey? Oh, well, that's not on the ice.
That's not the same thing. Like,
fuck yourself.
I think it's close enough for us to say that we like hockey.
It is literally the same thing.
So you're wait a second. You're hating on us not for a hockey, but for our climate.
Pretty much, yeah.
What does Marquis say?
Nothing is less safe than playing ice hockey on a frozen pond.
Exactly. You know what? How many fucking Sidney Crosbys and Stamkos have drowned as a kid?
I mean, it's just silly to me. Like where he's like, well, you can't play hockey in Florida. Like I'm pretty sure I played hockey in Florida. Like. Fucking many times.
Yeah, I can go home and pick up a goalie mask that I played many times.
But to get back to the Sticks of Fire thing, like I completely agree with everything you're saying, Nick. Like that's like I have to be the devil's advocate, but like
this podcast would not be interesting.
Right, exactly. I agree with you entirely. But there is one more thing that I haven't mentioned, in that their response to the hate on social media has been largely fuck you, no one cares what you think, we're Sticks of Fire, we're doing whatever the fuck we want.
See now that's the part I disagree with because I mean Scott.
He was a cool guy.
Scott,
he's
great
a
guy.
Really cool dude.
We really do appreciate you guys. And for the, I would say for 95% of what you do, we clearly support you. But you cannot be representing yourself like that on social media.
Yeah.
Because
you really got to just say like, hey, I appreciate
I appreciate your opinion, but
or something like that. Be a little bit like
be
a little
witty
bit more
about
decorum.
It. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
don't
yeah,
be
yeah.
an asshole.
Absolutely.
About it. Yeah.
And it's look, hey, we aren't. This isn't Word of the Bay spitting hate towards you because we agree with you. They're dumb, but you cannot try and beat them at their game. They will beat you. Dumb people always bring down smart people.
Yeah.
And as soon as the smart person tries to play a dumb game, you're out of your league.
It's true.
You're right. I guarantee you, they're stupider than you are smart.
Anthony, Strike Twice, like who's on here, I tried to give him a call, but he's a little engaged at this point. But I talked to a couple guys on Twitter, namely Geo Fitz. I had a very long conversation.
I was about to say, Geo Fitz is a good...
Yeah, and he said a couple things to me. Like a lot of dudes will put on that bandana and just act like an asshole because they think that gives them the right to be an asshole whenever they're in Amelie. He also talked about like them taking over the party deck and so on and so forth. But I mean, to that I say, you know, times they're changing, man. Like, I'm sorry, like that you don't have the party deck to hang out anymore. But that's just what happens.
Go make a cool new place.
Yeah, I said it on Twitter, man. I'd rather be looked at as a fan base full of fucking animals than that. Like, what are we known for anywhere else in Tampa? And
not
baseball,
showing up.
Not showing up. That's exactly what it is. Not showing up. We're fucking
like
shitty fans.
Marquise put it perfectly. It's the same assholes who brought up the Rays attendance. It's like...
Yeah. You don't go to your games.
You're clearly the Rays fans aren't there. I don't know. Being sixth in the fucking TV marketing, like, what is that?
I think both sides of the, you know, the Six of Fire and the anti-Six of Fire people have valid points.
I agree. I think one side of it is doing something for the organization.
No, it's good. They are doing something for the organization, but they're not doing it in the right way yet. I think that the anti-Six of Fire people are doing something really good in that they're forcing them to become something that they need to be. Like, they're forcing them to change.
I'll give it to you. Yeah, there is no... path to righteousness without hell.
Right.
So
there's got to be some change. I think everybody, there's got to be some push and some pull. So yeah. I think something's got to change.
Well, the only thing that can come out of this is, you know, steel sharpens steel. So yeah, we're going to have really, really good opposing fans compared to really, really good fans for Sticks of Fire. And the only thing that's going to come out of it is rather intelligent, knowledgeable, experienced fans.
It just goes to show you how passionate and knowledgeable our fan base is.
Which is the one thing that we've been knocked on as Tampa Bay Lightning fans, is that we are not passionate enough. I'm sorry, for 5 years in a row, we've been in the top 10 for attendance. I mean, as of right now, we're sixth in overall attendance. What do you want, people? This is a non-hockey market community kind of joining around a hockey team as a community.
Yeah, I love the Lightning fan base.
It's not supposed to work, and maybe that's exactly what the no sun melt people mean by that, is the fact that this isn't hockey in its pure sense, so why support it?
They hate that shit.
But, and I completely... I'm starting to really see what Tampa Bay's niche in the sports world is.
What's that?
We are the team you love to hate.
Yeah.
That does well.
Yeah. You hate us, motherfuckers.
I guarantee you there's NFL fans out there right now that are like, the Bucks are 5-5? And they're pulling up their team saying like, well, we're fucking clearly better than the Bucks. Well, clearly you're not. So... all those people that have that conversation in the same vein, you're probably on the same boat that says Tampa Bay Lightning hockey does not deserve to exist where it is.
Just quote Tupac here.
Yeah, let me be the first one to tell you, you're wrong. Illuminati
all through your body. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And God said he should send his son to what do we have here now? Yeah, you're right, though. Wait, what was that one song? Fucking. I don't know. Just keep playing Tupac. Follow me. La 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 la. He ain't a killer, but don't push him.
Look, all I'm saying is the whole hate him because we're not traditional thing.
It's the silliest argument in the world.
It's far beyond obsolete. Like, I'm sorry, we beat out 30 other teams to get to the conference finals or the Stanley Cup final last year. Like, we literally got beat up by one team. Go fuck yourself when it comes to who's not in a real team and not.
Because Chicago's is kind of struggling as well, too.
No, don't bring that up. You're starting to question the integrity of the NHL. No. It makes sense for the Lightning to not to be good. Don't you dare ever bring up the Chicago Blackhawks being bad. Seriously, you might have some fucking monocles thrown your way.
All right, I'm done talking sports.
Wait, one more thing. We got rid of J.P. Arencibia. That was a dumb call. He was the best catcher on our lineup last year. What the fuck were you thinking?
Yeah. Yeah, that was... I don't know. I don't know where that came from. No. I want to say that Silverman has some kind of a plan, but
he
yeah.
He, yeah. I'm starting to think that Silverman might be... His plan might be unraveling.
I don't know why you DFA fucking J.P. Arencibia. That makes no sense.
But that's the only complaint I had about it. All the other people he designated for assignment, he's fine.
I was like, good.
But J.P. Arencibia? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Marquis said about who's going to hit at catcher? Like, nobody.
Are you going to bring back fucking Molina?
Yeah, fucking what's his face?
But he frames pitches rather well.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got Kurt Caselli down. No.
None of those guys are any good. You know why? Because they're in our system as a catcher.
Me.
And we got rid of Kirby Yates for somebody, apparently.
Fuck him. Fuck Kirby Yates. Kirby Yates to somebody.
To nobody. I literally didn't know. I just put this to blank.
Yeah. So
he's gone.
Okay. Hey, speaking of gone, I'm ready to get gone.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Kyle quotes. Kyle quotes from the fucking...
What was the other thing I said?
I don't know. You bringing up the fact that my mom came in to the bachelor party suite.
That was Jonathan.
Oh, yeah, you're right, it was Jonathan. My mom comes in, and everybody's half-dressed, and all she apparently saw was me in a suit, and that's where... So she had no idea nobody was dressed.
Oh, that's okay.
I think that's a great song to go out on.
Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a proclamation right now. If you are a Patreon follower... Or what did they call them? Patrons?
Patron.
If you're a patron for Word of the Bay and Shark Dropper, we're going to go ahead and put the Bohemian Rhapsody version of my wedding song.
Ooh. On Patreon.
On Patreon.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Why not? That's awesome. I'll tell Rob. We'll tell Rob to do that. Yeah, if you want to see Nick,
if you want to see four-fifths of Shark Dropper singing Bohemian Rhapsody at a wedding.
Yeah, it'll be me, Nick, Jonathan, Robert. If you want to see us sing Bohemian Rhapsody full volume, go to Patreon.com, or I'm sorry, go to SharkDropper.com and click on the Patreon button. It's next to the home button. And donate some money to us. Maybe
it's a dollar.
It's a dollar.
It's literally a dollar.
You can see us acting like a bunch of asses.
And I'll tell you this much. If you're there and you don't want to spend a dollar, take the time, do your normal Amazon spending, follow the link. We have
on SharkDropper.com.
Yeah, on SharkDropper.com, we have a link. If you're going to do your normal Amazon shopping, we know it's the holiday season, please visit us first. We get a little kickback from your purchase, and it costs you nothing extra. So for the holiday season, think Shark Dropper.
For the holidays, you can't be truckdriver.com.
See how easily that flows off the tongue?
Yeah.
It's so lovely.
While you're there, we have 10 different podcasts. We don't just do this one. We do 10 different ones. There's the Doppel Avenue Hurt podcast. Nick and I had a pillow fight recently on that podcast.
Yes.
You can listen to the Horror Play podcast, where they just have a new episode this week where they are reviewing the Outlast DLC.
Ooh. Wait. I'll give you this. Teaser, a fucking... production company has reached out to Horror Play
to review
their own game.
Yeah,
that is very cool.
That's a cool thing to happen. You can listen to the Shark Trapper podcast, where we talk to an improv artist, or actually, you can listen to the Shark Trapper podcast this week and listen to the fabled, I think it's called Squid Lake. You can listen to the thing, Squid Lake. It is a
Google
a history.
Google Squid Lake, and that's us.
An audible history. It is a.
You are drowning.
Hold on.
Wait. While Kyle's looking that up, I will come back with something pertinent. if you're on shockdropper.com and you don't feel the need to donate any money, do any Amazon shopping, do us a favor. Go to iTunes.
An oral history of Squid Lake.
Boom.
You can hear an oral history of Squid Lake on the Shark Dropper podcast this week. I'm sorry. Okay, great.
That's something to do with World War Z.
Well, I remember like the actual oral history.
Got it.
Okay, let's wrap it up. We got to get out of here. I got to pee so bad.
Go to iTunes. Rate and review us. It takes 90 seconds. It's not that hard. And if you're a fan, I know you want us to do well, and we want us to do well. So help us do well for you.
Exactly. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting us. Thank you to Audible.com, Amazon.com, and to all our patrons for sponsoring us.
Thank you to Marquise for sticking with us the whole time. That was awesome.
And thank you to Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, Lovey Smith, Gerald McCoy, Levante David, Quan Alexander, just all the dudes who have made this 5-5 season possible. Finally, I feel like I have something to root for week in and week out. I don't go into each week expecting a loss.
Hey, guys, we got a real team.
I go in optimistic. We're going in optimistic every fucking week.
So guess what?
We beat Matt Hasselbeck.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. But it's just nice to not expect a loss every week. So
check in next week to find out if Nick's right or Kyle's right.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens next week with the Buccaneers. But for now, my name is Kyle.
My name is Nick.
And that has been More of the Bay. We will see you, when I said before, next week, right?
Yeah. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark. Go, go, go.
The following podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.